Now then we have a problem. And that problem is the reports are not out. Now how are we going to deal with that? Well, what this means is that you are not complying with the law. As Dr. Blesser says, why should we be talking that if reports have not been? In fact, he's right, I've not yet received reports. What are we going to talk about if the reports are not out? If the national president does not have the reports that they ought to have, why should we be talking? All of you are in the IEC room in respect of this one. No. He said all of you have not submitted. Not so.
Chair, we received a consolidated report from the National Department. So, you know, that's the comment on which reports have been submitted into the, you know, whether the issue is mine.
Mr. Mellon? When you represent your, okay,
yes, sir. So the situation is that the various provinces submit to us per grant reports. Then up to our department to consolidate those reports and forward them to yourself and to Treasury. It is difficult to send you a report which doesn't cover all the provinces. So what we are battling with.
This point, who are the culprits who have not submitted? Let's talk about those.
I have no information with me right now, but I'll try and
tell you
the
whole thing.
Yeah.
Just check that CC because it means we will not offer them an opportunity to talk today. We will, what in fact, I'm always a test for sending people back for not doing the right thing, which is correct. So clearly, if those are here, we must go out and just ensure that we get those reports in time. We will give you 2 minutes to phone your office, just get us that list. Now, it means that we've got to suspend the discussion for now. Until you're correct.
Why don't we talk about social development?
This is the problem we want to avoid, is just to paint everybody with a black paint. Those that are performing must be applauded and emulated. Those that are not performing must be assisted to perform. And so if somebody is in the IC, somebody must be assisted to perform. I mean, all of you know these things because all of you are in the health sector. And so let's hear what Mr. Mellon has to say so that I think those that, I mean, if you know you've not submitted the report, why are you seated here? It would be nice just to volunteer and then attack and go. Well, it looks like everybody is submitted. In that case, when let it. Let me see the case again. Have your team submitted? Because I want to start with you here if you have submitted.
Thank you, they had the wrong information that they were supposed to submit by the end of May. I don't know where they collected it.
Supposed to submit non-financial quarterly, meaning the financials are submitted every month, the non-financials are supposed to be submitted quarterly. We're supposed to say, what are the performance on each grant? So that's what we're saying. Robertson, you will tell me to start the prayer assembly in the meantime. Say the end. Let me see. Just tell us the bad story. And what is it that we are doing with the bad story except to see it happen?
Thank you very much, Honorable President, for the opportunity to afford me. The best story, Honorable President, is that there is high prevalence of TB in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Not only ordinary TB, but even the multi-drug resistant TB and HDR TB. No, I'm just relating the story because it will need more resources for KZN, another hospital. And also the numbers for patients who are on ART are really escalating. In other words, it's putting a lot of pressure on us as the Department of Health. Our target for the last financial year was 56,000 patients, but we are at 76,000. For sure, by the end of this year, the numbers would have reached more than 100,000. So I think it is important for me to report that as well. In terms of the level of expenditure, Honorable Chairperson, the report does reflect that we have underspent on forensic pathology services and revitalization, and everybody knows the challenges that the health departments are facing. Like, for instance, with regards to hospital revitalization, we all know that we are a client department to the Department of Work. And in KZN, it happened that the company objected to the tender that was awarded to one of the companies, and it really delayed us when we were contemplating to build that King George the Fifth or to expand King George the Fifth hospital. And that is the main reason for our under expenditure. And with regards to forensic pathology services, there are a number of challenges that we faced with. A scarcity of skilled health professionals and technical support staff and all those things, and the delays in the takeover by staff. So it caused under expenditure, and I hope that the honorable members will understand.
You know, you are forever a gambler. You set a world record. That's the thing. Let's take the Northwest.
Thank you very much, Honorable Secretary and Honorable Members. I think I should attempt to follow on the footsteps of the guide and also get straight to the point. Chairperson, our presentation covers quite a lot of information with respect to the questions that you had raised. But I just want to speak to the fact that as a province, we, in terms of the conditional grant, and that is our page 3 of our slide will show you how we have done in the year 2006-2007. The weakest conditional grants are hospital revitalization, although there is an improvement. We want to compare this year with itself, and therefore 86% is weak spending. The worst is with forensic pathological services. Chairperson, the issues here, as indicated on page 6 by the challenges, is first of all the fact that we need to start spending at the beginning of the financial year. And therefore, every quarter you go with a backlog. Also that the management of forensic pathology services grant was very poor. we are doing something about those things, but we just want to highlight where we have faltered. Both ourselves and the Department of Public Works agree that the management of hospital revitalization project professional team needs to be improved. This time it's not the issue of the contractors being weak or inefficient. It is the professional team, the consultants who are managing the project. We have even had to reinforce the civil structural team through the Department of Public Works. So we have found where the problem lies and we are dealing with it. We also, as a department, delayed the NGO funding. Chairperson, maybe with that kind of performance in those two grants, one should just point on page 7 to the achievements without necessarily elaborating on them, because the bottom line is that we have underspent on conditional grants by 9%. And we would like to conclude by saying that we are confident that all systems are in place now to monitor the performance of conditional grants, and we hope to see something different in the coming year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. In fact, you've really improved from the last quarter. You are a consultant, you really spent sleepless nights. It's a magic way, I understand. And that's exactly what you must look for. What is it that you see? You know, let me tell you a story. What is in the Free State Housing Department in the last quarter was among those that were in the ICU. But then it looked like something wrong has been done by them. They are still coming. Now we got this report from Mr. President, and we are very much concerned about something called financial standing. It's somewhat else. But we're really happy with the picture as you report. And what you think, when then one of the departments that was also in the ICU in the province was agriculture. Now the key challenge therefore is sustaining this performance and improving and building on this performance. But I think, thank you for that, because really we had a serious problem with ourselves last quarter, as you reported. It does look like there's some improvement. I'm not sure now how do we deal with this one. Dr. Houtem, you must be a very sick person amongst us. She's going to talk to us now. She's going to be in Bopo. And, let's allow the CFO. She's not even able to talk. What is that?
Thank you, Chair. Just on capital expenditure, we showed a growth of 24%, and we overspent on that growth in our capital budget. We then moved to one of the main reasons for the overspending on the capital budget was the hospital revitalization grant, where our NPF amount was cut from a 212 million in the previous year to 48 million in this financial year that's passed, and that included the consolidation of the two grants. So we were really stressed, and we managed to overspend there by 54 million. And we were promised funding, and I think that this is being looked at from National Treasury. If we go to our conditional grants, which is slide 10, you'll see there we've shown up our expenditure against DORA, which National Treasury was talking about, and at 129% of the original allocation. And at that. That's social development. Yeah, that's social development.
Social development. Look for hell. This one, this beautiful one. Limbongo is both health and social development, but for now we're talking to health in this beautiful one. Yeah, here it is. Thank you.
Yes, if we look at slide 10 in the health presentation, on HIV and AIDS, we managed to spend 95% of the grant, taking into account that such 35.5 million rand rollover when the province, we actually only requested 13 comma something. So we did manage to increase our expenditure to include the additional allocation. On the forensic pathology, the other one we didn't spend anything on, we managed 92%, that included a 7 million rollover. And the funds are totally committed. We started with 12 mortuaries being built from scratch, and 9 of them will be completed in the first quarter, the other 3 just a little bit later. And then we're also looking at building 3 more in this current year. All the other grants were especially, you know, the NTSG, HPTD, those are supplementary, and we overspent on them technically, but it gets carried over to the equitable share. And then we also have a provincial infrastructure grant, which we manage all the things for it. Yeah, I don't know if you want any further.
Okay. I don't think you've got a problem in the box in respect of this thing. But I do think that you need to deal with your own provincial grants if you make it of your mind. If you may make it with your own provincial grants. See, why we're saying this is that there's some supplying that is taking place in the mob of the Equitable for other things, which understand, for other things which understand. And this is exactly the issue we've been raising with the provincial president there. We might be able to resolve your own problems in respect of this thing. But I think, as Dr. Blesha was saying, this is a twin sister of understanding. Because it's not a big deal, it's not criminal. But, bottom line for us is whether these things do exist, especially in the context of your overstanding. Therefore, part of the challenge, therefore, is that we've got to find a way of following up, especially in the areas where there's been this huge overspending. But as I'm saying, then, there must be some interaction, especially with yourself. I'm not sure about other problems. In fact, I think in respect of other problems, it's true, because Northwest, for instance, has what they call in their budget development fund in every department. Now, what that means is that they top like the equitable share and create pockets of money in all departments. Again, I suspect the HOG and the MEC might want to talk to provincial president in Northwest. Suspect in KZN, just in view of the fact that we are raising this matter that you're talking about, of this brand new challenge. Surely we've got to find a way of talking. For instance, you have some departments that are understanding solutions in case of care. In the midst of 6 people, you might want to save those people while somebody is still understanding. I'm saying there's still room to maneuver in the equitable share to address some of those problems. That's it. But HIV and AIDS is 95%, forensic pathology 92%. We might want to go and see this one. We'll be in the Mbopo in August. As a Western Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I also just apologize before I start in terms of the handout, it's very small, and I've actually asked my colleague to get larger ones printed, so the general ones people have got are small, and I do take responsibility that it's too small. But in terms of the presentation, if I can go to the fourth slide, which is a summary of all the conditional grants. you will see that overall we spent 98%. The only area of under expenditure was the forensic pathology grant, where the expenditure, when this report was drawn up, was 52%, spending 44 million of 85 million. All the other grants were fully spent. Possibly just to indicate that overall, since overall expenditure has been referred to, the department in fact underspent by 56 million, and that's the total budget. But however, part of that is a global fund. And I need to explain to you first that the global fund is dependent on the rand-dollar exchange rate. And in effect, the department received 18 million rand less of global funding because of the strengthening of the rand. And therefore the global fund had a deficit, and the under expenditure, there is clearly a book under expenditure.
Captain, on the study, you get your own presentation now. If you see all of this activity and exactly what people are looking for, that
we did bring two, I've got three extra ones if somebody's looking for the members of the committee.
Take a copy there. And Uncle, do you have a copy? Weapon case. Alright, it's fine. If Mamukulu has a copy and Robertson, we're fine. So, what's it, sir? Thank you very much.
Okay, what I'm not including is the overall expenditure of the department deficit, and I'm just giving you that at the moment because those figures are still not finalized since the books have not been, financial statements have not been finalized. So just to give you some explanation of the under expenditure overall in the department, the largest component of which was in fact the forensic pathology grant, services grant which I referred to. The balance of under expenditure in fact is technical, and that was I was referring to the issue that the global fund, which provides a significant funding for HIV and AIDS, was under-recovered in terms of the strengthening of the rand to the tune of nearly 18 million rand, which in fact meant that we had to overspend on the equitable share to balance that. So in that fourth slide, as I've indicated, there was full expenditure of HIV and AIDS, preventive pathology 52%, hospital revitalization in these figures 98%, but in fact the full figure will be 100% expenditure. It's about 600,000 rand currently not accounted for. And both the HCDDG and National Tertiary Services grant were fully expended. I must say, Chairperson, that it is difficult. I know that some provinces are recording over expenditure against the HCDDG and NTSG, National Tertiary Services grant and Health Professions Training and Development grant. What we have put here is that we have spent the full amount. The balance of the additional funding for these hospitals would then be recovered from the equitable share. The particular area of under expenditure in the province, and I won't deal with the other slides other than the forensic pathology services, I can indicate that the area of under expenditure there largely relates to infrastructure. We had difficulty in getting some of those projects up and running. However, I can indicate that all the projects are currently under construction. And as we sit here, in fact, we potentially will overspend on the forensic pathology services grant and particularly on the infrastructure aspect, since the cost of construction has escalated quite dramatically. With regard to the hospital revitalization grant, all the projects are in process, and although we received an additional amount of 28 million as a rollover this year, we have this year fully expended the money. You will recall in the previous year we underspent by 28 million. This year we spent the allocated amount plus the 28 million that came in the adjustment budget. I can indicate, as far as I'm aware, all the monthly reports have been submitted for the conditional grant. The quarterly performance reports have been submitted by the Treasury and National Health, and all the business plans have been approved. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You decided to go. All right, let's hear Mr.
Mellon. Chair, the National Department did submit the report, the third quarterly reports. Just to indicate that the fourth quarterly report is only due on the 14th of May, which is Monday. The third quarterly reports, we did submit reports for hospital revitalization, forensic pathology, and National Tertiary Services. The report for hospital revitalization didn't include the Mpumalanga figures. We did not support or report, submit reports for HIV and AIDS because the reports from the following provinces were outstanding: Eastern Cape, Northwest and Limpopo. We did not support the Health Professionals Training and Development Grant because the reports were outstanding from Free State, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu and Northwest.
And you say, all right, let's for now. Let's persuade yourself to at least try as humanely possible to submit these reports, especially firstly timely to your own national department. But secondly then to ask because really they are not much useful. They are really persuading you for now. And maybe next time we might not want to persuade you. They are saying, please. Alright. That's then the form. I've seen how things are now. We've noticed how things have sneaked in whilst I was busy doing some other things. Right. There we are. Yes. Comments, questions, and clarity. Madam Kaka.
My question that I want to ask was Runatan, and what I've seen is a trend to other departments in Gauteng. Whenever you ask them to come and account, the issue of underspending on hospital revitalization, and you've mentioned the public works as a problem as well. I want you to elaborate on that one. Tell us what public works has done that you think they've also contributed in your underspending. There's the issue of Limpopo. The way, I think I agree with you, the way they are spending, it's shocking. And I will agree with you. One would want to be part of that oversight because the way they are spending, all of a sudden things have changed and so nice and glossy. I agree with you. You need to go and visit Limpopo province in that one. I will pray for now.
Right, Mr. Robert Finn.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, of course, with the Western Cape, and just a request for us older citizens, the printings are the small, and we battle to see and contemplate that your eye doesn't fall on it immediately. So I request a bit bigger. And then, Chair, for Western Cape, and on page 3, I've been in Georgia and HMQRG, there was only 51% expenditure. I'd love to know why. And then here we come to KZN. We've seen the same trend this year with the doctors on hospital revitalization and forensics, except for, I think it was Limpopo that you said we must visit. There seems much higher than everybody else. But, Chair, on the KZN one, we see on page 2, hospital revitalization and forensic pathology services, we see the excuses that are made for not delivering. But I think we should ask the question, what is the province going to do to rectify it? Because a lot of these stories come through year after year that we're asking for a plan of action now to improve on those problems. That's the case of then, Chair, and then Chair Northwest in the sort of Dunyan. So, Chair, there is also a case of hospital revitalization and forensics. 86% and 42%. And then the same question would be under the challenge of failure to begin spending at the beginning of the financial year. Why? Why? We've got to see a medium term. What does it take to plan 3 years in advance? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, management of forensic pathology service grant was very poor. Why and what are they going to do about it? Thank you, sir.
One thing,
thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mine will be on the HIV AIDS grant. I have an escalation of numbers on ARV cases. But then one finds that all the cases that are tested, it takes a long time for them to get onto the grant. So I don't know whether we would say that we are really up to date with the figures, because there are many more were detected, but they are not yet in the register. I know of one who tested positive over the month ago, but even now it has not come back. Yes, it is, but then I happen to visit the case and I know that he is not yet. But that, now let's look at the relationship between these HIV figures and the forensic pathology service. We need more non-mortals, as it is happening in Limpopo. There's a relationship between the build-up of the
pathologist. Needing more is a fact of reality. Now, your question and your responsibility as a member of this committee is that within the constraints, this is what also the Constitution says, within the constraints of the available resources, what is it that they are doing? Okay? Giving more, yes, it's a fact. But the bottom line is, we are giving them money in respect of the forensic pathology issue. And therefore, what is it that they are doing about efficiencies in the respect of that money? So I'm just saying, I do want to discourage members speaking as if they are members of ESCO. You're not a member of ESCO. Your responsibility is oversight. And therefore, you can't be a referee and a player. You can't be saying you need more on the one end and then other things. So I'm just refraining from that kind of question. There is other questions there.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, could we have a report be accompanied by the, what we call, the vital statistics, the outcome that shows what the end result of the manipulation is, that is death mortality, say, at the end of the that would help us to determine whether the money that is being given is actually accomplishing what is expected.
Right. Again, you know what you must do. There is a book that you've got. It's called Provincial Budget. 0209. That information is available. Shows you mortalities. Shows you hospital visits, shows you, what is it, primary healthcare visits, all of it. Sometimes it's a very useful tool that we must use. Clearly then there is there are only one or two questions for you. Okay, then.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. To respond to Honorable Member Kakani. The contribution of public welfare in the past was that there was not a good working relationship between public welfare and health. But what has happened, we have established a good working relationship now. Towards the end of last year, we started having, we just had a joint meeting, and then we established a task team that meets on a regular basis, bi-monthly, from both departments, headed by the chief operating officers of both departments. And then the other day, Tuesday, we had a meeting, a management committee meeting with both the MEC for Public Works, MEC for Health, and the senior management of the respective departments to discuss this issue. And as we go forward, we are going to be reporting, as the head of the department, we will be reporting to our political principals on a quarterly basis on the process, and both monitor what is happening. We are also in the process of revising the current sex level agreement and ensuring that the terms of the agreement are adhered to, which was not happening. So those are the measures that we push in place. And we hope that we are going to be able to work better going forward. Now, with regards to the issue of the hospital revitalization and transforming the pathology services, as to what it is that we're going to do different going forward. With regards to hospital revitalization, we have appointed a project management team that is led by a project manager that just oversees hospital revitalization. And we are hoping that the monitoring of the grant is going to be, the performance on the grant is going to be better with regards to this. What we are also going to be doing, which we have realized that has also caused problems, partly it is the working relationships between the two departments, but also what we are working on is to actually get, we have got approval from our own executive council to pursue private-public partnerships to ensure that we are able to deliver on this grant, because we have been having our capacity problems through the Department of Public Works. And coming to forensic pathology services, the problem that we encountered initially was to get staff. And if you look at it, you'll find that the understanding of forensic pathology services has been, with regards to staff, and we have been having problems with that, but now we are going through a phase of recruiting staff. And bearing in mind that there is a shortage in the technical expertise in this field. The other problem that we experienced, however, was getting submissions from the Department of Public Works. You know, there's been refurbishing their mortuaries for us because they have been only the mandating to refurbishing them. But for them to import that, they've been taking time, and we have understand. But again, we are also trying to get land where we can build mortuaries where there's no mortuaries in the past. And we have had delays in obtaining land, municipalities in those areas where the municipalities own land. We also have areas where we have Amakhosi, and we are in the process of negotiating with Amakhosi again to get land. So we have been having those logistical problems. Lastly, coming to the issue of the antiretroviral treatment. As the NEC mentioned earlier on, our target for 2006-2007 financial year was to push 56,000 people on treatment. But at the end of the financial year, we had 76,000 people, which we exceeded our target by 20,000 people. Now, with regard to people testing positive and therefore going on ARV, it's not everybody who tests positive who has to have ARV. There are certain protocols that say who can go on ARVs and who can't go on ARVs. So somebody can test positive but not be registered on ARVs. But secondly, even if you have to go on ARVs, there are processes that people have to go through so that they understand what it is that they are getting into, so that we don't get the problem of non-adherence to treatment, which will eventually result in their drug resistance to treatment.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got only two questions. The first question is, why didn't we spend at the beginning of the financial year? This is with respect to hospital revitalization. And we did come here during our accounting for both the second and the third term. And we indicated that of the two projects that are running in hospital revitalization, Moses Kotane in particular had a problem with the contractor's capacity. The contractor had taken too many projects and was lagging behind with the hospital. What we did is that together with Public Works, we then intervened and we even had nominated subcontractors who went in, and this is why we managed to get to 86% spending. That was the problem. But the other problem, it's not much of not planning ahead of time, but it is the laxity on the side of the managers to to monitor on time. You need to monitor your expenditure actually on a monthly basis, so that if there is any problem, you pick it up at enough. So that we say we should do as a department, and hence we are looking at this as a meeting. With respect to the forensic pathology services, we say that the root cause here is poor management. The poor management is attributed to quite a number of things. One was I'm not sure whether to call it a human phenomenon, but this is an instance where human beings who are just with the responsibility of managing this grant had their own personal issues that delayed to a point where we may even have to lose one of them. You know, there are too many cases that would bore this committee, but there were those human issues. For instance, you find that the money that we have spent mainly is the money that was supposed to be spent on recruitment. But because of the differences between these two managers, one will go and do the work to a point of her time to the skill that is needed, and the other one will not pass the documents to be approved on time. And by the time an intervention was fixed by the other member, you find that the people who were earmarked had already found jobs somewhere else. And this is why I'm saying that there was poor management. And now that we have found the root cause, all the causes are within the department. We will be able to deal with it and try to approach that. We have put measures in place. An executive manager is specifically responsible for this unit to set it up and make sure that things are running and running smoothly and deal away with all the hurdles that colleagues have put in front of them. Thank you.
All right. Let me just say before some of you leave, just a small message from the young one here. You know, it's always useful listening to the young one. I hope you will be able to have the capacity to deal with the new money. Now I'm looking at this honorable Bible. There's more funding. And therefore the challenge is, how best do you use this money effectively? Now, we will not call you, let me just also raise this, we will not call you in the first quarter this time. The reason is simple. From where we sit at, we see some improvement. But then those that are in the ICU can be called anytime. Especially because we want to focus on municipalities as well now. Part of the improvement is that all provinces, just all of them across the department, last financial year had underspent by 4.4 billion. So that has gone down to 2.3 billion. Very huge improvement. So I'm saying in the first quarter, we would not want to call you except those that we think would warrant calling. It means we shall see the international service and say these are the ones. But of course, we would not want people to be complacent and think because they are not coming, you will be coming in the second quarter. That is what we want to focus on the municipalities, as I said. But then the last piece of good news is this one. I do want to, we will tell these people this good news, but also let's just also share it with yourself so that you remind them, especially your public work. It says in respect of this thing, we are no more calling this thing TIG. Because this is where the president does not like this word, TIG. And it is said maybe one of the reasons why you're not spending this thing is because it's called the TIG. So this new name is Infrastructure Grant to Provinces. Yeah. It is IGP now. It's no more TIG. IGP. And so, as you are part of the components that must receive this money, there's also a huge allocation just broadly. Part of the discussion we have raised with Treasury is the fact that what they've been doing in the
financial year is to make you suffer, when in fact education underperformed or even rose. Because what they would do is to hold the whole of the TIG for the province. Now we're saying that is wrong. What must happen is that those that are underperforming must be punished. And though if health therefore is performing well, let presently calculate on the basis of what this law says, that there must be an assessment of the capacity to stand. And so if health is able to do and stand well, let presently hold the other components, roads and education. And then health must be given them to proceed. So it's a matter that we're putting firmly on the table, because we no more want to see the whole lump sum of the TIG with health, because somebody else is not doing their work. And then the last issue then that I was going to read is that your own public, work therefore. We say here in this is what must happen. A province in allocating the infrastructure grant to provinces may, where a receiving provincial department lacks capacity, designate an amount, this is good news, not exceeding 4%. Last time it was not exceeding 1%. Now it's not exceeding 4% of their allocation for acquiring such capacity to facilitate delivery. In other words, there is no reason now for public works to plead incapacity, because it is built into this piece of legislation. And so if they try and tell you that, no, we don't have capacity, remind them of what this one, this is section 14.3.2 of the current DORA. There is no way therefore somebody is going to be in capacity. I just wanted to share those pieces of good news for you with you now. And so we would want to monitor carefully the withholding. The old DIG must not be withheld now. If it is health that is underperforming, hold the peace that belongs to them, give education their due. That's all the bottom line. Bob, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Chair, just a couple of statements. KZN first on the one we asked on what they're going to do about the problem, and suggested they're going to appoint a team to monitor. Now yesterday we had the same problem with housing. You want people in the department, they appoint another 10-month housing as yesterday, and who's going to monitor those 10? Where does it end? Why doesn't the department monitor itself and get the job done? It becomes top heavy, Chair. And you don't know who's looking after them. And then, Chair, the other one that I wanted to just comment on is the one from Limpopo with the contractors that don't finish. Surely, when you appoint a contractor, you check the credibility of the contractor, what he's done before, will he manage the contract, and it gets done. The second one is Limpopo, the personal issues in the department, Chair. Those social issues that you put aside and delivery must take place. We heard what the chairperson said in caucus, that the people come first, but these personal things within departments are sabotaging delivery to the people on the ground. And I think the head of the department and the MECs must really take care of that. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
That head must roar. All right, that. Now, because some of you must do what we, your roads departments are still building international airports for some of you. Now those that have departments that are interlinked to social development will remain with us, because we still have to do that. Now let's then take Mapuma Malanga. What is that?
Chair, something else is creeping out of, crawling out of the wood again, and we had that problem 2 years ago. We hear a lot about public works not making things available. And I think we must revert back to what you did about 2 years ago, public works was attending meetings as well. That's a request, thank you, Chair.
They are coming this very same question. Hello, madam.
The Chair also put down as priority the training of the community health workers. That's on this one. But then, since we have some money that has been under health personnel, perhaps we need not the idea that to use that money at all. For the training of community health workers, because they are the people who are given the basic health training. Even in times of adversity, they are the ones who are always there at the bedside or near the community.
All right, the last message for health is that all of you, without exception, owe municipalities some money. Yeah? We would want that resolved as soon as possible. Because the MFMA is clear, I don't want to embarrass you by using the MFMA. We still are talking to the governmental relationship. Please resolve those matters. Pay the poor municipalities. They need each and every cent. Right. Now let's then take that province that produces avocado, Mpumalanga. Everybody is collecting the production of avocado pear. Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The starting with the expenditure of the capital budget of the health component. At the time when the report was drawn, the province was at about 91% expenditure. Now, starting with the general. The document is entitled Vote 10.
The people had asked me to release them earlier for very serious reasons. I do, they are released. And those who have not asked me to be released, okay, well, you might be cautious. But it's there.
Thank you again, Honorable Chairperson. I'm saying, starting with the general, the province has realized that it does have challenges in the delivery of infrastructure delivery and in capital work. As a result of that, the provincial ESCO resolved that infrastructure planning and delivery and maintenance is prioritized. So what has been done in the province is that we have firmly introduced a 3-year planning process, and the additional capacity to the department and the Department of Health and Social Services has been procured. That is in the form of the operational support team. The Honorable Member of the Executive Council for Health and Social Services is consulted regularly on all aspects of the CHSS infrastructure, including strategy planning and delivery. And the social services cluster is finalizing its infrastructure turnaround plan, and that includes the Department of Health and Social Services. Further, towards the solution of that challenge is that the accounting officer of the department, together with the head of the departmental operational support team, have weekly meeting on infrastructure. And the director of supply chain management, who was also responsible for infrastructure, has been redeployed to concentrate solely on infrastructure. The operational support team meets with the provincial Department of Health staff regularly, and that team is located within the department. And the infrastructure teams have been established at district level in the health component and also in the social component. And we are in the process of finalizing, with assistance of Treasury, the appointment of the technical assistant who will be part of the provincial technical assistant team, which we call the PTES. On the capital budget, the challenges that we had that resulted in us underspending were the late appointment of contractors for infrastructural projects and also poor workmanship, which we are addressing with the resolutions that we have put forth. Now, going to the conditional grants, and focusing mainly on the two grants where they were challenging. That is forensic services and also the health professional training and development grant. With the forensic pathology services, the main challenge here has been that one that has been on infrastructure projects, because here the main challenge is it was poor planning on our part, and also the delays in the appointment of service providers. There were also delays in the procurement of equipment, including the C-arms that we had ordered before the end of the financial year, but that has not been delivered. The vehicles of about 1.783 million are awaiting conversion, so we have not paid for them, even if we had procured. So what we have done with the forensic pathology services is that the expense funds have been committed and Treasury approval has been requested for the rollover amount of 18.335 million. And we hope that with the public works, the appointment of contractors will be finalized by or before June of this year. I hope that I've been able to cover the main issues around the under expenditure on the two. On the health professions training and development grant, the challenge that we had here was in the area which was affected by the cross-boundary processes. And we still hope to discuss this with Limpopo province to substantiate the amount. As about the money that has been allocated to Philadelphia Hospital, quite a substantial amount of it had not been transferred to Limpopo as part of the demarcation process. But we have applied for the rollover of the amount of 2.079 million. On the health professional professions development and training grant. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Limpopo, you are pleased in format. There is money. You have not claimed it. I think before we leave this meeting, you must resolve this. When and how are you going to transfer that money? They have said you have not claimed. In other words, there's unspent money sitting in Mbomaland. And the agent in Mbombo is so surprised, he can't even say a thing. In fact, the CFO are both surprised. They're both looking at each other. So, Mbomaland, you must resolve the matter before we leave here. Here they are, yeah? They're both surprised. CFO, have anything to say? The boss. He does not even know.
The arrangement was that provinces, we transferred all our staff and the functions, but then eventually we had to claim the money back that we spent from the respective provinces. And on our side, we spent all our funds that we claimed from Mpumalanga. But Mpumalanga spent our budget and claimed that from us. And that process is finalized. But there was no transfer to say we've earmarked funds for a grant that could be used there. That communication never came through. So, we weren't involved on that side of the block.
I'm confused, the chairman. It says here, unspent spend funds. A part of the funds allocated to Philadelphia Hospital, which was transferred to Limpopo Province as part of the demarcation of municipal boundaries. Let's come back to this discussion, and I will mediate between the two of you so that by the time you meet this one, this is resolved. Don't you think it's so good? Sure. Right, let's then take a listen key and then welcome the ladies and gentlemen up at the gallery. As you hear, we're talking about money. The people before us here are MECs and KZODs of the provinces. 9 provinces. You already have. But the one province says they don't have money. And yet the money is sitting in the other province. So issues of administrative problem. They're not able to pick millions of rands in their bag. Isn't it? Just before that, there's an MEC that spoke to me last week and said she was boasting that she spent all of her money. And this morning, one AZOG approached me and said, well, we spent all of our money, we want more. Now, the report before us shows that they have not done that. If in case you may proceed.
Chair, I think we will own up that it is us and the National Treasury. I think the report is missing some couple of dates. Because we'll show it to you just now that indeed that statement is correct. But let me start with a comment just on the understanding on COE, which is reflected in the overall chair. That is due mainly to a late approval of an adjustment budget came through only in March, so it put us into serious trouble. Yes, that's when it was passed. Yes, sir. So, but I'm sure when you engage with this entity further, they will explain that. But nevertheless, let's deal with the issues of the conditional grants. Chair, I will go to page 6. It's not numbered, but it's page 6 of our document, which gives the summary of all the conditional grants. Starting with the HIV and AIDS grant, Chair, that was overspent by 19.8%. Forensic pathology was underspent by 57%. We had projected that because all of us have been struggling with this one. HPTD, minor over by 2.6%. Hospital revitalization was overspent by 7%, and then NTSG was underspent by 5.86%. And in terms of the infrastructure, I'll come back to the reasons behind this. On the infrastructure side, share on the equitable share, and that's the main issue of difference in terms of what we project to spend. Not the project, but we report we spend. Out of our budget of 519 million, we spend 558 million, which gives us an over expenditure of 38.9 million. So maybe Treasury will have to look at what our figures are saying around that issue. share on the just the analysis on this grant, the reasons why we over or under spend. On the HIV and AIDS grant, the key reason there, Chair, was related to I think the same reasons as the other provinces where we were dealing with an upsurge in the uptake, particularly on treatment, which required more staffing, as well as requiring more tests, laboratory tests, and the costs related to that, we're not able to meet from our budget, including tests on the PCR as well. So that accounted for mainly the over expenditure there. On forensic pathology, the under expenditure was related to a slow start, as well as the internal problems in the management of the program, which was still sorted out. We have appointed Guha to assist in fast-tracking this project, and we are going to be asking for that as all over, so that we can pay for the contracts that are already started in this financial year. I will skip the HPDT grant is a small over expenditure, and go to MTSG, which was underspent by 21.9 million, and the reason there was that there's machinery that we ordered from overseas, such as hand-free adult bands unit and cobalt treatment, which has not been received, and therefore the unspent grant remains committed, but we cannot spend the funds, in other words, make the payment until the deliveries have happened. When that equipment has been delivered, obviously we will pay. So also here we will ask for it and roll over. On the revised grant, Chair, the over expenditure was due to the fact that the funds allocated were simply not sufficient in terms of accounting for what was approved in the project implementation plan. Particularly the issue around equipment that had to be purchased had to be paid for, but the funds were not sufficient. And then on the infrastructure side, Chair, on the equitable share, in the last quarter we reported on the problems that we were having, mainly brought about by heavy rains that had taken place in the city, but we did manage to cover up lost time, so that our expenditure was on track, including going over. Medical equipment, for instance, is a value of 68 million, including x-ray, laundry equipment, kitchen equipment, and so forth, was purchased in 2006-07, but had to be completed in the financial year that we are on. But we had already covered quite substantially in terms of the expenditure that was due to have taken place in that year. So we will still have to cover some of the expenditure that has not been paid for in terms of the equipment that is awaited. The escalation of costs in 0607 also, that was caused by the rains, also contributed to some of the costs going over the budget. Now, let me then conclude, Chair, by saying that on the M&E side, which we were also asked to report on, that indeed, MNP remains a challenge, but we are trying to strengthen our capacity on the MNP. What we are trying to emphasize on is that MNP must be incorporated at program level. It must not remain at the MNP unit itself, but every program must have a capacity to do monitoring and evaluation, including building that up at the district level as well as in the institutions, particularly the big ones, such as the complexes. That's where I would like to end.
All right.
Look, that's the record now. There was a record that I've set here, the world record, is really well left young. Let's take this mask off. Welcome, madam.
Thank you, Chair. I think, I'm not sure whether it's an advantage to present after everybody has or the disadvantage, because most of the other issues that you raised, they have raised. I think in terms of our total kind of expenditure that we're reporting for 6 and 7, is that we have spent 94% of our budget, which means we have underspent by 6%. However, there is one page that I would like to highlight to the Honorable Chair, which is page 5, where we have summarized all our conditional grants. And we would like to highlight that we have underspent under revitalization, which is capital project. We spent 84%, and under forensic pathology we spent 81%. Now, when you go to the explanation that we had on page 7, under allocation of grants, we have spent in full excess for this forensic pathology, which we thought we have really made an effort to be spending at 81% from where we were in the last third quarter. Our biggest challenge was under the revitalization grant, where we unfortunately, because of the processes that were involved in the adjustment budget and also our relationship with public works, it led to this under expenditure. And what have we then set ourselves to do to address this issue, to sort of assist the members of the of this committee? When we go to page 11, besides the appointment that is referred to say we have appointed senior people and the project managers, we have also strengthened this through establishing formal monitoring and evaluation meetings, whereby we also are using systems to enable our department, public works, GSSC, and treasury to access information, because there's a delay in terms of reporting when it comes to the monthly financial reporting and following up. So that is what really will strengthen us to ensure that we don't incur or experience this under expenditure in future. I think I'll stop there.
You've really outdone somebody. I'm not sure who. And I still have 5 minutes for tea. What do I do now? Okay. Can I take the North Cup in the last 5 minutes? Tell us the best story you can tell.
Thank you, Chairperson. And perhaps I would like to say we were challenged by the location in Plain Street. That is why we walked in late. Thank you. Thank you, Chip.
What's something around here? Nothing changed. Which one is yours now? Which one is yours?
It's coming, Chip.
Have you seen that one? That's it?
Thank you. Today's chairperson, we have sent 84% of our total allocation, and we can happily report that we have spent 100% on our provincial infrastructure. And yesterday we have opened a very beautiful hospital in the Garis area, the Garis area. And I would like to actually invite colleagues when they pass or they go through the N7 to just go in there. And that is a test to say that we are progressing with provincial infrastructure. National tertiary services, health professions training and development, and the comprehensive HIV and AIDS. What we haven't done perhaps well is the FTS. We spend 55%, but I'll talk to the reasons why. And revitalization, we spend 75%. We are having major challenges in terms of the contractor, but we are saying with regard to what we are going to do, we have analyzed our challenges to this respect, and one of them, of those challenges was to correct a situation where we had one official dealing with a number of projects, and we have since just given him one area to deal with. And with the technical assistance that we shall be getting, we are saying that we will improve on this one. If we look at the quitters, I think it tells on our spending pattern. The FTS, we are saying that we have reasons why perhaps we did not do well, but what we can also report is that there was a delay in the delivery of the equipment and the mortuary vehicles that we were expecting. And then granting of permission was also given to us late. And then SAS was also a challenge in that they didn't bill us on time. And then, of course, the recruitment in the Northern Cape of desired professionals is a challenge. What we would like to talk to also is the capital expenditure. We have spent 76% of the total infrastructure budget, and then the main contributing sector being the conditional, the funds both in forensic and in the hospital revive, which were given to us, and that is the slide one on page 10. What we have further done, Chairperson, was also to make some commitments, and we have committed on the project as indicated for rollover, and this has been submitted to Treasury. Thank you, Chairperson.
Wow. You are all wonderful performers. 11 o'clock in due time. Can you just check whether there is TV? If you can just check the mic machine. Chief, I'm asking you if you can check if there's TV. Then you can just show me Saga.
everybody is a good performer today. It is said the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We will have to go and look for. When we are looking in the victim case report, the clinic. And I tell you a secret. 6-0 clinics. Now, the HOD was quarreling with me this morning. There are no roads leading to the clinics. What does it mean? It means they just parachuted clinics. Your clinics were built outside by cities. Can you have tea for 15 minutes and come back and take questions?
She looks younger. Oh no, God, if you get yourself a problem.
You can't make it. Oh, okay.
So you're waiting for contact?
Yes.
And
yes.
No, it's not. No, it's not. 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 It's
Nah, nothing cake is bread in Mammon too.
Now we've overstepped by 2 minutes. We're gonna overstep by 2 minutes. The only three provinces just arrived, and I'm not sure where we're putting them now. The two Agogies were telling me stories that they forgot to say something to all of you. That's the Agogy Housing. He wants to tell you some good stories or bad stories I don't know.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I forgot to mention on the provincial at page 5, the provincial infrastructure grant that we're battling with even on the second and third quarter, that we are happy to report that after the intervention of the Select Finance Committee here, we have managed to have those funds transferred. So I was just saying the last minute was reflecting that we have been battling, and there was going to be a meeting between ourselves and our provincial treasury. And ultimately that assisted us, and we have managed, as you can see, to have that funding transferred.
Chair, no, I was making a point about the revitalization grant that all of us in the provinces are actually in a distressful situation, because the funds that are reflected are not actually new funds in relation to new projects. These are just funds to complete existing projects. So we don't have any new projects on the table that are being done. And that is distressing us. In the context of statements that are made about the country having an expansion in infrastructure projects, but we're not seeing it in health in terms of new projects. And in fact, we are cutting on new projects. So that's a significant point for us. I can just, as I leave off this point, just mention two points. One, that on the 1st of June, we are going on site at Cecilia Makiwane for the rebuilding of Cecilia Makiwane, just to give you information. Part of the money that we got from the PIG is going to be showing results immediately in terms of the rebuilding of the Cecilia Makiwane. And then, of course, 2 days ago, we signed a TPP agreement to do 2 hospitals in Eastern Cape, Settlers and Port Alfred, with the private partner. Thanks.
Now, we were going to raise questions, but let's, where are these gentlemen from the Cape province? Somebody said they were here. Where are they? They look like Epcot. I don't see somebody who looks like an appointed person. They look like somebody who... Are you all appointed? It was the last time the city was here. It had an Epcot call with Mr. Chapman, Dr. Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. I think perhaps in the light of the comment, request the appointed person to take us quickly.
Has he been appointed?
Yes, he is.
Congratulations. Where is your presentation then?
Thank you. Presentation is on the table. I'll do so, Chair. Just before I start, I've been appointed for the past 5 years. I'm the only stable one in the department. Chair, we can move directly. The first page is just a summary of our conditional grants expenditure, but the second page, I'm just going to talk on the second page. It gives you the percentages per quarter and the total year. We spent, in all our conditional grants, we spent all our money, 100% of HIV and AIDS, etc. Only 2 conditional grants that we did not spend all the money is firstly the forensic pathology services. We're busy with the new mortuary. We already requested the rollover of that 11 million that wasn't spent. We started late in the previous year with the development of the new mortuary. And then with regard to Revite, you'll see that we overspent by 898,000 rand. And the other conditional grant that we did not spend all the money is our infrastructure grant. We spent 93%, 8 million. We requested rollover small capital projects that's ongoing. Taking the total picture into account, we spent, of all our conditional grants, we had spent 98%. Yeah, the challenges, etc., you've got it there. Our only challenge that we've got at the moment is that we need an additional 42 million this year for our mortuary, our national... Thanks, Jay. That's all.
Needing 42 million rand is not a challenge. Especially the performance of that forensic pathology service there, 76%. Okay, thank you very much. Questions, comments, and clarity? Madam Kapanik, Mr. Soponi,
Thank you, Patrick. Mine is about our, my first question will go to Kumala. The person I would want to know, I don't think it is enough for the province to ask because of the delay. They must tell us what are those delays and what is the delay because of those delays. Because according to them, they are just saying, understanding prison court because of our delay. And then we can say, they are talking about internal problems in management of pathology services as one of the reasons we understand it. I also want the province to tell us what are those internal management problems they are talking about. Lawrence Cage on hospital revitalization. They are saying one of the reasons is low progress in one of the project, and they are talking about suspended, they are talking about that they have suspended two projects in NPR. Chairperson, I think now that they are aware that there is no progress in the project, in one of the projects, and I think when you plan the project, you know when to start and when to end. But already they are aware that there is no progress. And I want them to elaborate on that and tell us what are they intending to correct the situation. And suspending of projects, I don't think to me is the solution, because the only time they will suspend this project already when they understand. So I want the province to tell us what were the problems before that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I say my colleague that she doesn't want to deal with housing in public. She deals with housing in the pathologies, because my colleague from housing, the HOD says that they had asked, at some stage last year, there were indications that there would be overextenditure, but now it results to underextenditure. And HOD, I'm not sure if she's aware that the new adult rate officer is in my constituency. Now, I realize that it's one of the projects that are affected. When I ask, clearly there's a delay. When you ask, people say, no, it's not about funding and whatever that is trying out. It is a comment that I want to say, but has this got to do with some kind of planning problem? Because, some projection. You know, you remember FFC raised this question, it was further that raised that there are problems with projections of whether they are going to be understanding or spending, and only to find that people think that they are going to understand and think any overspend, and now things result to a lot of understanding, 15% understanding on the hospital of the revive. What is being done to rectify that. And this question of planning for protection, it can take, for instance, overspent by 19.8% on HIV/AIDS. Do we have, where is the problem? It's around planning, so if we are admitting that the problem is around planning, what is it that we're doing to strengthen our planning so that we do not continue to experience this? The HOD from Eastern Cape is raising concerns that while the country is talking about expansion on capital spending, it doesn't seem to, I mean the health seems to be excluded. I don't know if the National Department will be able to comment on this as to whether that is the case. If so, that's correct. Why is that the case? Because we think that, hospitals are an essential, what we call a service. We can't just afford to sustain it and say tomorrow, do it tomorrow. They need to be what they call it done now. What is the problem? I'm saying, from the comment, arising from the comment of the campaign around the fact that there are no new projects that are being used. All the projects that they are being used are old projects, because he says that while government has undertaken to improve capital expenditure generally, but as the health department, that is not being experienced. And the Eastern Cape is one of those provinces that is not experiencing this. So the question is, we know, we hear of all the announcements, the reports, all over. But nothing else. What is, why is this the case? But also what worries me, Eastern Cape, is that, Eastern Cape, you have been having challenges generally. But now you're saying at this stage, you're still being developing your monitoring and evaluation unit. I'm really seeing what they call the effort behind time in terms of doing that. I would hope that we'll say now it has been established, it's up and running. When can we expect to hear that kind of comment, for instance? To Northern Cape. Chair, I think that to Northern Cape, the comment has been made around your hospital design. But I think that we need to bring Northern Cape Public Works. Northern Cape Public Works, I think that it has just got to admit that there's a problem and find a way of addressing this problem. The Northern Cape has really moved from, it was performing very well, and all of a sudden, it took a while because it went to the extreme now. But I think that Northern Cape Public Works needs to explain as to what is happening. But together with both your health and education, around forensic pathology grants, when I think that there are hidden problems, everybody is understanding on this one. I'm not sure when you say, was it July or so when it was transferred to health or early last year? Yeah, but I think that maybe the Department of Health really needs to address those problems that are there so that it can, what you call it, be able, we can move towards service delivery on that side. Because if there are these delays, clearly service delivery is negatively impacted. Thank you.
Robertson? Thank you. Let me just say, read something that's here before me whilst I'm calling on the floor. Madam Kun?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. It's related to Mpumalanga. They are procuring vehicles for refrigeration. Is it necessary to have refrigerated vehicles in the forensic pathology services? Because the only infrastructure they are taking a cop to the mortuary. And then about the Eastern Cape, the hospital revitalization grant is not enough. My question is,
today's budget sufficiently for the services that came for, because they've been aware of the dilapidated hospitals for a long time. Thank you.
Your cut. I've got a small copy here. I've said it must be distributed to the members. It's a page 69 that's taken off the Auditor General's report. I'm sure you're aware of this one. Now, I'm going to read that, something that relates on to the Division of Revenue Act. The following deficiencies were noted with regard to the expenditure of funds received from the National Department in terms of DORA. One, under general. For some of the related funds, business plans, project implementation plans, and business cases were found not to be approved by the National Department of Health. Two, no service level agreement could be provided for the National Tertiary Services Conditional Grant. Three, payments were made to suppliers not having a valid EAT number. Four, during the visit to institutions, we found the following regarding medical waste. A, medical waste of Greenpoint Clinic is collected by Sol Plati, that's a municipality. E, medical waste kept in waste boxes at the Warren Vale Clinic is banned in a container and not disposed of in the required manner. C, the Kuruman Hospital medical waste was noticed amongst municipal waste. F, that's horrible. Hospital revised. The following deficiencies were noted with regards to a visit done at the Abraham Isao Hospital. A, the capacity of the hospital is of concern as maternity and emergency beds are being utilized for patients. B, the pharmacy of the hospital has various shortcomings ranging from inadequate workspace and facilities to bad workmanship resulting in water leakage. Two, the following deficiencies were noted with regard to a visit done at the Manipu Teacher Hospital. A, various problems were identified relating to bad workmanship. Means that hospital is going to fall off anytime. Same applies to the one above. Two, average bed occupancy from January 2004 to June 2005 has been 80 to 95%. This is possibly an indication that the number of beds provided for does not cater for the community. Now, item 3 under hospital revise. It was found that certain payment certificates and orders in respect of the hospital revitalization payment were not signed by all the delegated officials indicated on the payment certificate. Business plans, business cases and project implementation plans in respect of hospital revitalization grants were found, thank you for that, Mr. Sokoni, not to include a detailed budget of equipment and construction costs. In the absence of a detailed budget, we could not evaluate the progress on the hospitals being constructed. Project implementation plan for the Kimberley Mental Health Facility, Bartleyware Hospital, Godoni Hospital, and GR Hospital have not been approved by the provincial and national accounting officers. Objectives set out in the project implementation plans in respect target dates for certain sections of the construction work to be completed were in various instances not met. Lastly, the tender documentation for hospital revitalization projects did not include environmental impact studies. That's a big one. I want you to respond in writing
just in terms of how you are dealing with all of these matters. And that response must be given to us in the, it's going to come to in the next 2 weeks. I don't want you to respond to this now. And that's the kind of situation you find yourself in. And let's then allow responses starting from the Eastern Cape.
Yeah, thanks. The management-related problem I was referring to, it happened when we moved the program manager to another function and put somebody else there, and that created a lapse in terms of the running of the project. And we had to pick up after a while, you know, after realizing that this new person that we had put in there was not fast enough in terms of running with the project. So we lost time as a result of the change in the management, and we had to return the program manager back to his post after we had addressed the problem that we are addressing elsewhere. But by that time, we had already experienced some lag in the implementation process. But we did try and recover quite dramatically, because in terms of our expenditure in the last quarter, it was very low, to an extent that we pushed it close to 50%. So that was the type of problem that we're dealing with. But of course, I have reflected also on the issue of generally having started late. That was also a contributory problem. On the HIV and AIDS over expenditure, could this be affected by the planning? I think
rather the credibility of the information provided by yourself.
I don't think it was so much. I don't think it was that problem, Chair, because the format was quite strict in terms of what information needed to come in there. So there was to and fro in terms of the verification and validation of the business plan. However, the issue is related more at the implementation level, where there were challenges there of dealing with the needs of the service that was being provided, that was resulting in budget pressure. It was not an issue on the planning side, but more later in terms of maybe what we could not anticipate.
In fact, on what you say, in other words, is at what stage? Because there was MCGT, was it not able to address the rest?
Well, Chair, we couldn't successfully resolve those challenges because the outcome showed an over-expenditure, overall. So we have to then make sure that we are able to anticipate such challenges that as we experience and factor them in our operation plan of business plan, so that we don't have this kind of problem. Like what we experienced. Then on the MME system, we do have a unit that we have established. It's populated, but not completely.
But what I was reflecting on the MSE system was not necessarily within that unit. I was talking about institutionalizing MSE across the department so that it's not just those few people that are in there. In the formal MSE unit that have to do monitoring and evaluation, everyone that is involved in program implementation needs to know that they need to accommodate and set up monitoring and evaluation. So I'm talking the expansion and institutionalization at that level. And then final point, when the revised grant not being enough to budget for all the needs. The way we do it is that we submit
that question is how do you compensate for overspending in the context of this conditional grant? I'm just raising it, you will come back to it, because there seems to be that kind of a problem now coming up. And so, as these provinces overspend on hospital device, on any of the conditional grants, what kind of the cost do they have, just from the point of view of the national department? You're not responding now, you'll respond when they, and all of them finish.
One question that we omitted with system case. I must appreciate the comment from Hal saying that at least finally the issue of the PIG has been resolved. In some case, I thought that they would comment as well because they have not been getting the PIG, and we thought that we were only what they call a badge of resolving it. And yeah.
Yes, Chair, sorry, thank you. For the first time in financial year, we have an allocation of CIG. We must again repeat our thanks to this committee because it was through the presentation of this committee that it eventually materialized. The allocation for this year is 150 million.
Got so many peaks, 150 million peaks. Gosh. All right, Robert.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there a follow-up?
Another new question.
No, let's finish the other question.
Okay.
Right, that was how Ching.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the question was in relation to whether the challenge in under expenditure is not related to planning or poor planning. And I would like to say maybe it's more of a tight monitoring than poor planning, as you'd imagine that you would have received the additional amount and probably could have said that there could have been tight monitoring of the process. And as I've said in the earlier presentation, that we've done, what we've done now is to hook up into the Public Works information system and also the GSSC information system, where we will get early warning kind of reports so that we don't find ourselves maybe in a situation where things come at a later stage rather than earlier to intervene. The other area is that the whole province, there is an audit on monitoring and evaluation, which would sort of integrate all our monitoring systems province-wide, including local government.
Ma.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The questions that were asked were around the delays. But we have that you've got to clarify that. In the reporting page, where we are dealing with the forensic pathology, it has been mentioned that the delays were in the appointment of service providers, particularly for in MLO and Secunda for forensic pathology. The other delays were in the procurement of equipment. Now, in detail, those problems, for example, when we were procuring the PM, that we had to, it has something to do with the planning, the way we are scheduled, the way we are going to work. And the PM had to be ordered from outside of the country, and after we had appointed the service providers, and there were delays in the delivery of those CRs. The at the micro level, one would find at times that the supply chain management processes were not necessarily being followed, and as a result of that, had to put corrective action. And where you find unrealistic prices being quoted and being submitted for approval on basic equipment, for example, computers, where it's very clear that the equipment is not, the prices that you are having are not much appreciated. Just to clarify the issue of refrigeration for the vehicles that are being used by forensic services. If you have a patient in, let's say, Shongwe Hospital, which is more or less next to the border with Mozambique and Swaziland, and for some reason, after doing the basic forensic examination, there are questions. That body has got to be transported to Witten, where there are people that are more competent, or where you can be able to get a specialist from the University of Pretoria who are working in Witten, and that body has got to be transported there. Now, in that case, you need a vehicle that is refrigerated. And that also happens to a situation where you have got to move the bodies around for one reason or another. You cannot just move them in a normal vehicle. So this is a service that requires this as an essential equipment. If you allow me, Honorable Chairperson. I just wanted to say something on the issue of the Department of Public Works. The Department of Public Works, thank you very much. We have mentioned this as a challenge for quite a time. And I would add that we should try and come up with some kind of solution, both at the provincial level and also as we come here to this August body to assist us to get to solutions. We should also suggest solutions. Hence, in Mpumalanga, we have, with assistance of the National Treasury and the local treasury, been grappling with the infrastructure turnaround plan, where we are saying that we have got to look at various models, where not only the Department of Public Works has got to be the agent, but where various permutations can be used, as long as we can be able to increase the pace at which we are able to deliver infrastructure. So the structures and the bodies that I have mentioned that have been put in place with assistance of the Treasury is one way of solving some of the problems that we many times mention as problems that come from the Department of Public Works. But in many instances, we are faced with problems that are intrinsic in the departments themselves. For example, when one looks at the procurement and decision-making processes in our departments, some of those things are the red tape that we create ourselves and we do not solve. And as a result, we end up grappling with those for the whole year instead of delivering the services to our people. Thank you.
No, Chief, you don't have to worry. One of my colleagues has said we will have to call it Indaba with Public Works, all of the Public Works identified. Because I think as you were saying that perhaps there is some left which you are paying, and we will have to call them. Precisely because the book is, again, very clear.
front of us here. In terms of verb and chapter, the verb is verse 14, chapter is chapter, which is this? Should I start with the chapter or the verb? Okay. Chapter 14, verse 2b. Okay. A province must ensure that its provincial department responsible for education, health, and roads enter into, implement, and manage service delivery agreement with national or provincial departments, national or public entities, and any other organ of state where such departments, entities, or other organs of state manage or undertake construction or maintenance on their behalf. C. And participate together with the provincial department responsible for public works in the infrastructure delivery improvement program facilitated by National Treasury, unless the National Treasury exempts any such department from participation. So, with the powers therefore vested by this chapter in it in us, we surely will have to call this gentleman and lady. Besides, because the law is clear, that's in terms of those issues, but also issues of capacity building in their own department. Catered for a day in the good book here. Don't worry about that. We will handle that on your behalf. But we also say, continue engaging with them. You see, part of the responsibility of this house is the resolution of these things called intergovernmental problems or relations as and where they exist. Right. Work up. You don't respond to what I was saying. You're going to respond comprehensively then, right?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will respond to the slowness of the project. Upington Hospital and the rest. I think up front one would like also to say we are concerned because we have been identified as a practice site for the World Cup. For that reason then the progress of Kimberley Hospital is a problem of Upington, of GR, and the non-listed Portsmouth Hospital. By October last year, Chairperson, when we got further allocation for DR and Upington, nothing appeared on the allocation. And that is why we are saying we did not receive, for example, the production letter for the project to start, to continue. By that time, the earthworks had been done, especially of DR Hospital and Upington Hospital. It is a concern to us because that then says by the time they are picked up again, we may have to redo the wiring, the piping, and all of those. So it will be counted or seen as waste of money. Chairperson, we access our services from public works. We do, or we have started engaging them in discussion, and we are also going to be assisted by the technical assistance that has been offered by the National Department of Health. Thank you.
Right. There are no questions for the free program.
just for a follow-up with the Northern Cape. The Northern Cape, I didn't understand that with regard to those projects, those public projects, there was no adjustment at that time. Where is the process now? Are they continuing with those projects or what?
No, no member of the executive council. There is no progress presently.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just need some characters of the Eastern Cape. In a presentation under reasons for other expenditure of infrastructure, says medical equipment to the value of 58 million rand, probable expires, launch equipment for that equipment. Now, what I want to know, has all that equipment arrived and has it been installed? Would be my first question. And adding on to that, Chair, in the Okashamba district, there is a machine, but there's no operator. So people from Barclay East have to be caught to Allowell North for broken limbs and things like that. And then, Chair, my other question is on what you mentioned earlier on, is the clinics that were built without roads, are those clinics functioning or are they just standing? And my last question is, Chair, is the HIV mentioned that they rebuilding, if I understand correctly, a totally new Cecilia Makhawani hospital. And my question to that would be, what's going to happen to the old one? Thank you, sir.
Just on the lighter side, I hear that Mpumalanga wants to repay one real debt, Limpopo. But they're not saying that they're paying to housing. Maybe the housing has not also sent an invoice because no, housing does it poor. They need to remember housing.
Chair, thanks. No, the equipment has not yet been installed, but it has been purchased and has been installed. Because we are awaiting the finalization of the construction of the facility. The machine without an operator in Okashamba. Chair, I think we'll have to follow up that, but we'll have to just follow up that one. Yes, Chair, indeed, we are going to rebuild Cecilia completely. And we are going on site on the 1st of June. A new design, very beautiful, has been done. We will do a phasing redevelopment because of the fact that there are patients there. You know, so decanting the process will have to be. But eventually, at the end, a new hospital will be in place of the existing
one. Very welcome. You know, I think last year in December I was in that province. And I was so scared when I walked into that hospital. The corridors and everything, just dark and darkness all the way. The only place that is I've got some light in the ICU, the rest, beds and everything, but I think that's a very welcome, you know, National Department of Health.
Chair, at the present moment, it's a clear understanding, that if a province overspend on the conditional grant, that money needs to come out of the equitable share. there is a mechanism that if we know by the time of the adjustment budget of a potential overrun, we can approach Treasury, particularly in the case of the HIV and AIDS grant. But the uptake in the use of the services provided for HIV and AIDS was progressive towards the end of the year, and that couldn't in all cases be forecast that uptake is going to be there, and hence the other.
Just on the result, I think I was talking to my colleague, what might be appropriate is for us when you have got time to come and make a presentation on the challenges of the bank or revitalization, because I think it needs to be studied in that context. It is true in terms of structural expenditure and health, it has increased tremendously. So it's not true that we are stagnating compared to other. But the problem is that there's a bit of a hiccup in terms of introducing new projects, but I think that thing must be said in the context. That will also answer the question of Appleton and NPR and many other areas like Kayelita, Goma, Soja, all like that, but I think we need to do it in a bit of context. I don't think we can do it now. So if you just share, please. But the other thing I wanted to say, on the reverse chain, also in terms of when there's under expenditure and over expenditure in one province, unless they've taken it out from Don, where we're structured with revitalization is that we're funding a project. So if a project is 100 million, it can only be 100 million. So if you have flow this year, we can take your money and give it to someone else's fund. That doesn't mean you have lost your money. But it seems people struggle with the concept, but that's the fact. You can't lose your money because the hospital has to do it. So that's how it's structured. But again, we can explain that later. Okay?
I think infrastructure programs have definitely expanded very substantially. Infrastructure spending in the sector has tripled from about $1.5 billion a couple of years ago to about $5 billion in the year past, and increasing in the years ahead. The rebate grant has also tripled, so the spending was about $900 million in so far the 600. The grant is $2.6 billion by the end of this MTEC period. About $800 million was added to the rebate grant budget in budget 06, and a further $1 billion in budget 07. So, you know, there certainly has been increased budgets and expenditure in this area. But besides this, there are a whole range of problems connected to the grant. They're broadly within areas such as the way budget bids are being made, with respect to management of the grant, with respect to capacity for upscaling rapidly, amongst others. There has been a series of correspondence between the Treasury, also our Minister, and Health and Health Minister. There's been discussions in the Budget Council and, you know, request for a TCF work group to be formed on the revitalization grant. Also, there was a discussion within the 10x10 process around starting negotiations on this. So I think it's clear there's a whole area of work that needs to be done, and it needs to be done quite rapidly to, in a sense, unlock some of the problems that currently exist and to be able to scale up even more rapidly than the 20% real per annum that has been happening. I think we committed to that, but I think there's a lot of work has to be done.
I think then what you're saying, Mr. Malak, is fine, but I think then provinces finally must take ownership. I think you're right. They overspend and must then give to the equitable share. I think we also welcome the offer of the conduct, and it would be very nice if it is done just in the first quarter, so that as we move in terms of all of these matters, but especially the hospital divide, just to give a sense of understanding for members of the committee,
Next person, I think we might want to also invite the health select committee to be part of that discussion. I think that is very important, especially as early as now, because we're starting the effort. So that as we get into the year, let's have a broader understanding of all the issues. That would be welcome. Just no teacher. It would mean then it means you've got to work out the policy and maybe workshop us as a bit, the one there. And let's start working on that. We'll be ready for that. And thanks for that offer. Now, we're done with health. We've got to deal now with the social development.
Have we done with the Western Cape?
Yeah. Western Cape came again and everybody else and have even left Limpopo or Northwest. You're late. You're in trouble. We'll be dealing now with social development. Again, Dr. Blessa says approved. There is a submission.
I'm going to be extremely brief. For those of you who have a copy of this presentation, it's only about 4 or 5 slides. Chair, the reason for that is because of the shift of the large social security function from the provincial level to the national SASA agency, which in effect meant that during the last financial year, the 2006-07 financial year, there really has not been traditional grants in this sector and not really been much capital expenditure to speak on. So really, I think this year has been a year of provinces re-establishing their basic social welfare functions, which have been squeezed out for many years by the social security expenditure. The chest slide, I've only really spent about 1 or 2 slides looking at the total expenditure of social welfare departments. A summary of the overall expenditure is presented in slide number 3, which basically says that spending was 97.8% of budget for the 2006-07 year, the budget being 5.29 billion and the spending being 5.174 billion, and the year-on-year growth being 22.6%, which is higher than either health or education. So, although the numbers are small, this is only about 2.8% of provincial budgets now, a 22.6% year-on-year increase. And then here, just in the last 2 slides, about 4 and 5, it shows those numbers by province, and it shows there was overall a slight under-expenditure of 117.8 million.
Thank you.
circumstances.
So she's looking at the slide last time, slide 5, looking at the province. So overall, that's quite a strong 97.8% expenditure. That's that third column for preliminary outcomes, percent of adjusted budget at the bottom. And that overall year-on-year growth is 22.6%, which is the very last column, year-on-year growth. And the overall underspending, which is shown in that lowest row, 117.8 million. Of which that's 51 million in Northwest, which is 12.3% of their budget, 46 million in KwaZulu-Natal, 4.6%, otherwise fairly marginal, and very small, very tiny overexpenditure in some provinces. So generally, share picture seems to be a fairly substantial year-on-year growth associated with the re-establishment and beginning to bed down more strongly the social welfare function after having been squeezed out for several years by the grant function.
Let's take that the only problem that is startup free gateway to Africa.
Okay, thank you. We've also got a two-page document. Just to say, our capital expenditure for the 2006-07 year, we managed to spend 100%, just 0.1% over the budget actually at the end of the day. And then that budget also shows pretty good increment over the next NTS period. The money is basically, we put money into buildings, about 28 million for one-stop centers, community-based rehabilitation centers, and a children's home that we're really completing. And then a little money into office equipment and vehicles. And we spent 37 million rand last year. Our budget grows to 52 to 100 in the outer year, and then 110. So slowly the function is being funded as Mark has alluded to, and it's actually a challenge to try and spend that money. You know, 100 million additional is a lot of money. But we do have plans, and it's going to be exciting.
Bumala.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We have submitted a report that does explain our expenditure, which is on the capital budget, that the expenditure is 91%. And that we have not done well when it comes to buildings and infrastructure. The comments that were made at a time when we were discussing the health and the health component to send. But I would just like to add that over and above the challenges that we have mentioned, which are the late appointment of contractors, poor performance of contractors, and management capacity. We should just update it to the August body that if we start in the first instance by looking at the internal capacity, the social development does not have a dedicated infrastructure team. And on the overall, it has got inadequate human resources. Not only to deal with infrastructure, but to deal with other things too. Especially coming out of where it was the social security, now focusing on issues of social development. The second important point that has got to be noted is that there's no strategic position on infrastructure position for the development of social infrastructure social development infrastructure. And that is one of the issues that we are grappling with. The very important point about internal capacity is there's no sense of agency within the department, particularly at delivery level. And this is not an excuse and an attempt to throw the book at the staff, because it's the responsibility of the leadership of the department to drum up that sense of agency into staff. But coming out of where we were into the new mode of working, it is very difficult when that prevails. The fourth point is that the decision-making systems, processes, and procurement and procedures are not necessarily optimal for optimal delivery of infrastructure. And one other point on internal capacity that keeps up coming up at us is the issue of poor planning. Because if we look at the delivery in the last financial year, even if we had budgeted for the amount that we have budgeted for, with the kind of sub-complement that we are having, it was not going to be able to get either the machinery and equipment, nor the building. In real terms, when we started in April last year, we started with a sub-complement of about 514, which we have been able to increase to about 788. But that still leaves us with a quite a high rate of vacancies in the department. Now, the second point, which is external capacity, I think those are the issues that you have mentioned that border on external capacity. And the last point there should just be noted as the monitoring and evaluation capacity that we need to work on, in the same context as it was mentioned earlier on when we were discussing other provinces and ourselves in discussing health. We do in the department have weekly discussion sessions and weekly and monthly and quarterly monitoring. But now with the intervention of the various layers of leadership within the province, from the level of the ESCO to the social services cluster priorities, the involvement of the MEC and the teams and external capacity that has been procured for us by our leadership in the province, we hope that we will be able to go around this. One last point that I just want to mention, which I think it will be of assistance, especially for this August body, is an assistance to go along and improve on our work, is that if one were to look at the expenditure in the last quarter of the financial year, one will see that there has been an attempt, even in all the expenditure of the items that we are looking at here, to improve. But the interesting thing is that, as a leadership in the province, to that extent we are failing to keep up that momentum of the last month of the financial year to produce results in the first month of the following financial year. Thank you very much, Secretary.
Thank you, sir. You know, there's an interesting thing here. Some people don't know names of their provinces. Yesterday, I said Kapa Mikoni, and then the people there were like, ha! I said Kapa Mikoni, this is the Northern Cape. They were like, we're lost. So I've just said Northwest, and the person from Northwest does not know he or she is here. There he is now.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm awaiting my HOG. Can you request that another province present?
If your HOG does not come, he's in trouble. 45. Yes, he will present late at night. Right. Who do we also have here? The three problems. I'm told you are a brand new HOG. And let's hear what you've got to say.
it, I don't know how brand, you know, brand new can be. Okay. Yes, thank you. We managed to spend 99% of our capital budget, and most of it, you know, was spent on buildings and structures. There we managed to spend, you know, to achieve 100% spending. Now it basically went into the planning of the QK center, planning and erection of the QK center, you know, the place of safety, the workshop justice center, and the victim support center. Now, part of the capital expenditure went into the purchasing of the of government vehicles, you know, vehicles, and then it also we spent some of it on office furniture and so on. This would be for new offices, you know, newly appointed staff, but also for offices, mainly for our district services. There we spent 98% of it, you know, thereby achieving 99% expenditure. Now, the rest of the building chair is the document. One can explain further if it's there. It is a good story because if it's been 99%, it's, you know, within the threshold, 2% deviation. Thank you.
The gentleman who just walked in, who is it? And where is he from?
He is executive manager of corporate services in the State Department of Social Development.
Ah! Are you claiming somebody who does not belong to you? Tell me who you are, you, the one who just walked, not you.
Good afternoon, my name is Andrew Webb. I'm the head of department from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Who is this
Chairperson, if you can allow me, I'm going to ask what Mr. CFO to present the report. Thank you. We have Chairperson. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to mention that our capital budget is with public works in our province. So the capital money that we have in our department relates to 16 million, of which 10 million is for transfer capital, and that money we transfer to the municipalities for our multi-purpose centers, and the remaining 6 million we use mainly for vehicles, office refurbishment, and our computer hardware check. Here we've spent 1.5% over our budget for the previous financial year, and I think one of our challenges is that most of our spending was done in the last quarter, so that actually something we're working on together with Public Works in terms of that process. That's basically one of the challenges that we do have in terms of capital spending. So it's a very small budget that we have, and currently the capital expenditure is with the Public Works in terms of it. Thank you.
Now, can you see that off? Have you received report from municipality in respect of the transferred money? And what is the performance of that money?
Yes, thank you. The transfer of capital funding to municipalities is done through a service level agreement and in tranches. So before we transfer a further tranche, there must be a progress report that we look at, and therefore that was one of our challenges, that we await that report, and therefore most of these findings were done in the last quarter of the financial year. But that is how we transfer the funding upon receipt of a progress report before the next draft.
That's it. Limbombo, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Western Cape. Let me talk to them. Hello, Mr. Sopos.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to start with Western Cape, with the last comment that Western Cape made. And your question does alert us to something. And the CFO there says, now, at the last month of the last quarter, they allocated this money. I'm just giving my own, what you call now, analysis of what you're saying, because you said at the last quarter, I assume now at the last month. And we haven't received a report from municipality, but your report says that there are municipalities that were allocated there. And all of them, because these allocations were made at that time, are not going to start with the work now. They're only going to start in June, from June upwards. So, what do you call it? 11 months, you don't allocate money to people. When you don't know what to do with the money, you give it to somebody so that your own books are clear. You spend it because it's not in your book. Your book shows that they are what's called. But in reality, you do know that this money has not been spent. We do have a term here. I would not like to call it trade, what the term we have. When you don't know what to do with that money, but maybe financial something, but
yeah. Because it's clearly financial. May shake your head, but it's clearly, if you, for the rest of it, you can't see those people in July last year, in the third quarter, or when, but if you decide that on the last quarter, why do you do that? Why do you do it? Area. Sir, you know, with Mpumalanga, the friend, we are really trying very hard to drag some people out of ICU.
Some people refuse to come out of ICU. But we will continue doing our best. In fact, with the problems that the HOD has dealt out around Mpumalanga, I mean, we keep on asking this question. I mean, with the experience now that he has, this Department of Health and Welfare, is this what they call the arrangement working? Seeing now that clearly the Department of Welfare is being re-established now, is the arrangement working? There are problems around it. It's not the first time that we hear this problem. It's not only in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga maybe might be frank about the challenges that are there, and other people may not be so frank. But is this arrangement working, that we have one HOD for this department, where clearly people have got a particular passion, maybe for health, because it is for the bigger budget, and the other one that is for the smaller budget.
So the question I'm trying to put, I'm not sure if Pumalang will be able to respond to that, but that is the question that I am, and that's the only comment that I'm having, and welcome your friend, you.
From where I'm seated now, I think I don't want to say we want to demonstrate that what you were saying is financial gambling. And I'm going to ask a question that says, one, how do you disperse this money to municipalities? The formula. What is the formula? When we hear the problem from Mpumalanga, I think what we will do is just to engage on an ongoing basis with those problems. But again, I've not had anybody saying that transferring money to municipalities. This day, are you transferring money to municipalities?
No,
sir. Limbombo, are you transferring? Okay, and then Mpumalanga, are you transferring to municipalities? The only one transferring is Northern Cape. What is the formula you have?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the, if I can start with the formula, we have also a provincial order that we adhere to in terms of our provincial treasury, and basically we must appropriate the funding for that particular year for the municipality. And these funding are then allocated in tranches over the NPS period. So within our books, as well as within the municipality's books, they have a clear indication of what funding will be coming to them and for what purposes. And that's what we base it on. Then, Chair, we, as I've mentioned, we have a service level agreement with the municipality. And in our case, the transfer of funding is for the establishment of multi-purpose centers. So we're in partnership with the municipality, as well as any other donor funding that we can raise in order to complete this capital project for us. And that is how we deal with it. So, and then in terms of the transferring in the last quarter, the report that we received from the municipality must indicate, as well as our monitoring function, that the first tranche was actually extended in terms of purpose thereof, and as we agreed in our service agreement. And only on that basis we would then transfer a further to the municipality. And that is one of the reasons why in some cases that we might, in our financial year, transfer it in the last quarter of that period. But these are based on our progress report and SLAs with the municipality.
I will request a copy of your provincial donor. Because, look, if you look at the Division of Revenue Act, I consistently refer to, the formula used here is the formula used by the FFC. In other words, given to government by the FFC on the basis of the backlog, etc. Now, part of the problem I have with what you are saying is the fact that there is money for this given to municipalities called municipal infrastructure grant. Now, that is a particular formula. Now, in terms of the formula, about 70% of that money goes to sanitation, um, water, but there's also money for community structure. In other words, multi-purpose center in the MIG. And this is why I want to check this thing that you are raising. And therefore, to what extent does this money that you're talking about talk to the MIG? This is why I'm asking for this from Michelle Dora of yours. So that we might want to check what Mr. Sokoni was saying in respect of financial damage. Mr. Robertson.
Chair, the old man needs a bit of clarity here. On the last page of the presentation by Western Province, the second last page, where amounts have been allocated to those municipalities who stipulated there, then under constraints, the lack of spending capacity at those same municipalities, obviously. Now, here my question would be, out of those amounts that have been transferred to those particular municipalities mentioned, could the department tell us if that money, what amount of it has been spent, if any at all? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so it's maybe 20%. There's no pages. There's no page. No money has been spent there. But if you can look at the page where the set of reporting and constraints municipalities. We are informed that multi-purpose centers are being built, one for 1 million, 2.5, what is called a multi-purpose center, 2 million to 1.
We cannot allow the MEC just to sit behind cool drinks. And I want to urge everybody to pick up their own juice. There's so much juice in front of us. The MEC must just come in somewhere here or somewhere here. Not behind the catering table. Welcome, sir.
Now, around Uso, 2.5 million is given to Uso for the purpose of discussing. Now, I'm reading from this report. Run in a copy. Location under discussion. But already there was investment for 2.5 million. And you say that it is not, you want to give it another name. You know what I wanted to comment? That, other people are coming here for the first time today. Other people have been coming here all the time. And I must understand that with people who are coming here for the first time, they want to make a case. Give us reports that will make the select committee to be happy that we're spending the money in the town. We really don't want those kind of reports. Because we're not really here to be made happy. We're here to assist in terms of ensuring that all of us will become partners in developing our community. So it's very important that some of the, what you call it, until we have heard some of the provinces, they are very frank about challenges, so that together we can assist to resolve. But if you want to make us happy and give us reports that really are not, what you call it, truthful reports, it does not help, it does not assist anyone.
So this issue you are raising, firstly, the issue of land has always been raised, but clearly here looks like there's no planning. Well, what you told here is that there's still some discussions and locations and other things and other things. I think that's the one thing. But number two, we're told this thing will be, that 1 million, which has played with operational in September. Again, planning issues. Number three, swelling, I'm saying. West Coast, the same, I'm sure. Now, but also here, somebody gives money to municipalities, they themselves say there is a lack of spending capacity. And what are you doing about that? Why do you then give people money? I mean, people who don't even have capacity to spend, why do you give them money instead of firstly building the capacity? And so what is it that you are doing about this thing? Secondly, that second bullet, the disjuncture of the financial aid, is not an issue. The issue is planning and planning and planning. That's the bottom line. What is it about the financial aid? Bottom line is the plan. Well, any other questions? None? Respond. But I'm still appealing. Can people pick up these choices? These things are healthy.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of whether the funding has been spent, I would like to give accurate report on that, Chair, and not give an indication now. We'd like to check that, that, Chair. Sorry, Chair. The question of whether these funds were spent as per our report, we would like to check that and then report to the committee chair in terms of all the funding or what percentage and give a report on that. I just need to also add that the amount that we see here, Chair, is not the total amount for a multi-purpose center. Our agreement with the municipalities is that thank you, Chair. The total amount for multi-purpose centers in certain municipalities can vary from one to the other, depending on the size of these multi-purpose centers. So we would also produce that report for you, Chair, to show what is the total amount that we need for a multi-purpose center. However, in our department, we set aside a portion of the funding that we can contribute towards that multi-purpose center. Likewise, the municipality would also put some money aside that they can contribute. And if there is a donor willing to also assist, that also become part of that funding. So just to make that clear in terms of the money, in terms of this change. Then in terms of the spending capacity, that constraint we've indicated there also to substantiate the reason for the late transfer of this funding. It's because we first, in terms of our progress reports, make sure that they could spend what has already been given and that they have the capacity. And therefore, Chair, sometimes we transfer late because we first ensure around the capacity to spend at the municipality.
You know what you must do next time? You must not generalize and say lack of spending capacity at municipalities. Which are these municipalities that have this lack of capacity? And what are you doing about those things? But I think let's send this report. I'm coming to this. You see, what this report does is tell us the symptoms, not only in the Western Cape. The very symptoms might be existing in all the other provinces. It's just that they have said they are not transferring to municipalities. Now, I forgot a question from Kumala. It says there is a lack of sense of urgency. Now, this is known to the HOD. And therefore, what is the HOD doing about this? I'm raising this in the context of this huge personnel spending. That's across the board. Now, clearly then, people have been paid for lack of agency, for instance. They know they've got to put to work, and they're not interested in these things. And therefore, what is it that you are doing about this thing? As the HOG, Mr. Sopoli.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Sir, I would really request that at the next quarterly meeting, the Western Cape comes with a full report around this. Full budget, how much has been contributed by the by the province, and that and those contributions of the different municipalities. Where are those municipalities? We're ready for those contributions. Well, I'm not sure if this competence belongs to municipalities, and we're not necessarily putting the municipalities under more pressure. Thank you.
No, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, financial dumping. Right. Let's welcome the brand new MEC of Social Development. You're fairly old. The brand new one, who's brand new in the last week or two, is the MEC from the Eastern Cape. We welcome him. He's our colleague. We've been working well with him in the other sector, which is housing, and we hope we shall work well with him in the other one. Let's also then welcome the other, not so brand new, MEC, from the kingdom. I was told the Eastern Cape was still manufacturing copies. I'm not sure whether they are ready now. Are those from the Eastern Cape? Is that not where? Right. Case at end, you have some hard copy?
Sorry, sir. I think from Case at end, we were misled by the program because we were told that we'll be appearing after lunch, but we are ready as a kingdom, as you said.
No problem, my MEC. You know what we can do? Let's then go for lunch and recharge and come at 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. You want an hour? 30 minutes, 45. 30 minutes lunch, old assembly. Is that so? Dining. All of you are invited for lunch. All right. Let's all go. Services to the people in the context of paying one. Well, part of the bigger problem is the long queue that you have all over the show. But secondly, the times at which elderly women and men must wake up. In fact, they don't even wake early up. They sleep over. At the same point, somebody puts a stone, a chain, etc. But then on the one hand, you also have some people who are paying to be shuttled from being number last to a particular position. How are you handling that one? I'm just saying in the context of providing infrastructure such that you don't have one long tooth. But if you do, in some of the places you don't have ablution facilities. And places of refreshment for the elderly, for instance. Are we dealing with those issues?
Thank you, Chair. Without your contribution, Chairperson, I must just say that on that one you are doing very well. I'll tell you why. When I was appointed MEC, the first thing I did was I've been always, as you know, that working with people on both outside government and inside, before we even come into government. One problem which one was experiencing was that these so-called pension committees, they are the ones who are the troublemakers. The corruption which is taking place in the pay point are led by the so-called pension committees. First thing I did is to expand those committees, engage elected councillors to take responsibility on the pay point.
one candle for me from my right hand, Mwali. The last person we paid on Monday, for the first night in the morning. The delay were caused by the so-called pension committees because the one client. So now in our province, we don't have no more pension committees. The elected candidates, because very few candidates can take bribes because they want to be elected. We've got development committees, we've got CW committees. So those, all those structures who are elected, they are the ones who are responsible. So we are winning that battle without doubt. Two, in terms of the, for instance, on, when today is what? Right, on Wednesday, there was a high state Muslim. All money was taken. We managed, it was about 10 past 7, we managed to organize with SAS and CPS. By 11 o'clock, people were starting to get their money to be paid. So we are managing to take services to our community. The only problem is that it's a break on itself, the structure. That is why for the department they've come up with a project called One Stop Shop. The home affairs, social welfare, health, drop-in center, multi-purpose center. So for every area, every district, then we build those small shacks for other people to get paid. But where there are many queues, people who stand, who find that we are paying 1,000 in just one go, we build structures, permanent structures, not only for the pay point, just to get pension, also to research and to get their certificate, and the drop-in center as well, to make sure that those who are families, kids who go to school without food, they can just pass by and have something to eat, go to school, and also on their way back from the school. So I'm trying to say we are dealing with that, but as I said, I'm only 5 months. I hope by the end of the year we will be making a mark on this one as well, improve the pay points, because it's a long queue, people are collapsing, and now there are volunteers, these are people who actually came to our rescue to deliver some soups in our pay points. So I think we are getting there.
Thank you. Chair, I'm going to go to page 5 of the presentation and slide 10. Chair, when we look at the social development, there's a serious shortage of social workers. And I'd like to know, and I think it applies to all of them, I'd like to know how this can be overcome. I can see they've appointed 280 interns, for lack of a better word. But even a 280 share of a population of 9.4 million isn't scratching the top of the iceberg. And we have to, because there's a lot of children suffering out there, and family abuse and child abuse. I'd like to know how we can resolve the social work away. And then share this big document here. The 5-year strategic framework, which is on page 44. Now, it's over a period of 5 years, but surely a lot of these projects and developments could be finished before that. I don't see any time frame there whatsoever. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Last question is not going to be entertained today. We'll entertain that at the end of the 5 years. But I think what we need to be looking at, Robert said, is an annual target. And so it would be nice, I'm just saying that maybe whilst there's an overarching 5-year target, but then what are the annual targets? And whether we are achieving those annual targets. But I think for all the provinces that are here now, the question is social worker. Number 2, pay points. Now, in respect of pay points, there's a whole range of things.
There are health issues, there are pollution issues. How are you dealing with those things? Which things, right?
May I respond, Chair?
No, no, let's just check the footage first. You've already responded to this one, that means. Or let's start with you, like for social workers. Let's just hear the participation.
Thank you, Chair. Last week I was in London.
I met.
Come again? Yes. And actually, we are having a problem as a province to meet with our all South Africans abroad. We could not believe it, myself and the Premier, the MEC for Arts and Culture, the attendance from the South Africans who are abroad. It's not as sweet as you think when they say I'm going abroad. They are starving them. They are starving. So I'm going back now because about 850 of them, they want to come back. One arrangement is that they're going to sign an agreement with us to say we'll deploy them to those deep rural areas for 5 years. And also there are business people who want to sponsor their air tickets to come back because some are unemployed. Some actually they're just working their but really, they are suffering, they are starving. So what I'm trying to say is that we are working on this one. We hope in 3, 4, 5 months down the line, I can assure you that about 250 extra social workers will be back into our country, in our province. But the target which we are working on is 800, which they've come out openly and said they want to come back because that's what they don't even have something to eat. So, and we are finalizing with our sponsors to say, please, let's give us some tickets to bring them home. I'm working with the High Commissioner in London to facilitate that meeting, of meeting them and arrange their coming back home. So we are dealing with that. Despite that as well, you know that this battle is, this year we gave to about 196 kids to university, try to increase the number of social workers. So we are working with it.
Currently, there are still thousands of unemployed graduates who could easily be trained currently in the country. But I'm not saying anything about that, I was just raising that. So that the part and parcel of the engagement, let's also look at that. Listen. Oh, there's a follow-up from the lady in the comments.
Thank you, Chair. I was very encouraged to hear what's been done with the centralized point where services are being provided to people who are waiting in queues. And I just wanted to know whether you were doing things like considering using the opportunity for life skills teaching, perhaps assisting those people who are waiting in the queues to learn a bit more, to educate them, to help them with things like HIV/AIDS counseling and so on. And of course, I'm always very keen on the reading side. You could have some not necessarily a fully equipped library, which would be the ideal. But if there could be something with which people could actually pass the time, reading magazines and that sort of thing. But I think particularly where you have such a conglomeration of people, it's an excellent opportunity to assist them. And can I just have some clarity on the people who are wanting to return? Did you say these were social workers who were hungry and unemployed or not very happy, or these just general people who've gone over to look for work or study or travel?
We've got health workers. For instance, I was at Glenscock when one health worker came to our office and said their families were there. I'm sure you've seen it in Ghana. We went to launch a project. 6 donkeys came out of that house. You could not believe that there were people in the house. There were 7 of them. They can't even walk. They're just lying there. Now donkeys are using that house as their call. So, but because of the health workers who are deployed in the province, they're the ones who are picking those families. And also on the pay point, they're the ones who are looking after those old people who've got BP,
and so forth to make sure that they get paid quickly and they just leave. And also that people are disabled to make sure that they are the ones who are paid and released quickly. So we are trying, as I said, we've got volunteers who are working on the pay point. And we are training them. All there's a cluster between ourselves and the Department of Health.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regards to the social workers one, I must say that it's quite a tricky one. I'm not sure that other provinces are not finding it problematic, but we had a long time ago, I think, some guidelines for the Northern Standard, on the basis of which we're supposed to determine the adequacy of social workers within the department. But I think, as we would know, those are found to be unrealistic for most of the provinces. But what now that other the new process has started, trying to again determine the Northern Standard. So in the meantime, we do not have something tangible that we can say with confidence that we have sufficient or not. So the issue about insufficiency of them, comes to the national process based on those notions we developed previously. Now what we are doing, in the research time and determine that we thought maybe we should now initiate the process of, in the meantime, developing some provincial non standards, to take care of, for instance, distances, or distance specific, context and so on. So we are beginning that process. But in the meantime, again, like other provinces, we received money for boundaries, and so we have awarded not only first year one students, but we have gone also to universities to identify the students that are already in the second, third, and fourth year that are studying social work, which we did not support financially previously. And we have supported that. The intention there is to create a pool of potential employees. As we know, our contract will be binding for us to to take them on as it is on completion of the studies. Now, we have also gone into discussions with the local university of the state, to actually collectively, see how we can assist the university to increase their output, because they take almost enough, but in terms of what they produce, they produce about half of what they take in. Now, those conversations are happening between us and the university. They reported a few problems there previously. Their intake, I think anyone that could not be admitted into any niche area of study, was shoved into social work. And that led to high failure rates and so on. So they started the new process of actually recruiting, according to the formula that they used to recruit other types of students. And they also are sort of supervisors and so on. So we are collecting information on how we can, partner to increase the output of social workers. Now we have increased the appointment of social auxiliary workers, so that we leave social workers only to do, the professional work which no other person, might be able to do. So that's one of the things that we, one of the things that we are trying to do. But in terms of determining the work load, again, based on my introductory statement about Northern Standards, we have decided that we're going to conduct the work study to actually determine, whether it is a fact or a perception that social workers are overloaded to the extent that we want to believe they are. Now, the first thing, that we have started with is to actually, develop a database of the workload in terms of cases per social worker per district. And we have found, variances there in the allocation of the work. Now, we have also established that some of the cases that we have on our register are very old cases, maybe that the police have not managed to solve and so on. So technically speaking, it is not part of the current load of a specific social worker, although they are reflected still, as part of the load. So we have not finalized the process of actually determining the extent of the overloading, thereby then, that would assist us to say, yes, we are short of how many, or maybe we have sufficient but not fully utilized. So basically this is now the process that we have begun. Now, in terms of the pay point, the chairperson, I think there we have, you know, registered great success in that, I think over the past 3 years we've spent about 22 million.
I would not like to repeat as the strategy that has been followed by Mpumalanga to address the issue of the shortage of skills is in the same line as the Free State has put it. Where we are working on getting those people that can be trained at various institutions, and also increasing the complement of the social the auxiliary workers, so as to release the social workers to be able to do professional services. We will be in a position to provide this organization with the details of how many bursaries have we awarded, how many students we are funding, and also the bursaries that have been awarded over the years up to this financial year. On the issue of pay points,
we have a member of this committee who comes from Kumala. We will send him to that province and check this information. And after he has come back with some report, we will then call you to come and verify it. No matter what. Right. Let's then take the Eastern Cape. Let me see.
Thanks very much for the question. And I have with me the head of department, Mr. Denver, and also the CFO. And I would allow Mr. Denver just to respond to the question of social workers, just to indicate where we are as a province. And Chair, I hope that after the questions have been addressed, you will also respond to the presentation and make a presentation. Oh, thank you very much for doing that, because we were also thinking that we are a rural province in terms of our time and place, we might have problems. But Chair, let me express a word of appreciation to the committee for inviting us, because the session carries with it two experiences. The first one, that of being assisted by the committee, and secondly, that of learning from other provinces in terms of what they are doing. We really appreciate this session and we promise that we will look at whatever questions and recommendations flowing from this meeting and we'll work hard to implement those. Mr. Denver will then take the committee through our presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I apologize for the fact that the presentation has only been copied now. There was some miscommunication. We attempted to email it yesterday. I also perhaps like to state in advance that not having been here before, we may not have known exactly what was being looked at. The presentation may not capture everything, but let me try and do it as I'm going along. Firstly, let me say up front that there's no conditional grant in our budget. All of our budget is coming from the equitable share, including our infrastructure, our small infrastructure budget, which is at 26.3 million in this financial year 2006-07. Of that, we spent 80% on projects, which I will elaborate upon.
secondly, let me say up front also, we don't transfer money to municipalities. We do our infrastructure ourselves together with provincial public works. If I can just take the honourable members into the to page 3 of the of the presentation, which just as an overview, like all the provincial departments, we have 3 programs, our spending for the year, we're standing now at 101.3% of the budget. So we exceeded the budget by 1.3%. That is updated slightly from the Treasury press release, because we've now got the draft financial statement. So I've taken the liberty of updating it. If you go to the next page, it just indicates the spending per program. Of course, the main program, program 2 and 3, is social welfare services and community development and research. It's just indicating the amount there. I might say, Shepherdson, our spending has been fairly constant throughout the year. If you look at the Treasury press releases, for each quarter we've been close to the projections that we made. If I can turn then to the actual capital expenditure, there were 16 projects that we undertook in this financial year that has just passed. Of those 16 projects, we completed 8. And the 8 that we are completed are appearing towards the second and third pages of the presentation, indicating the funds that were expended. 5 of these projects are phases, so we didn't expect to complete them this year. 5 are ongoing. 3 of them we had problems where, and I can list them if the honourable members would like me to, but it's basically those are our own internal problems, that there were delays in terms of the tender going out and delays in terms of contractors moving on site. And that's the constraint that we have attempted to address. It's a departmental problem together with public works where we have a facilities unit that was understaffed in this period. And we've addressed that now. And we've also addressed it in other ways, which I can elaborate upon, including the management of infrastructure in the performance agreements of certain managers this year, so that it becomes clearer and sharper and we're able to manage it better. Maybe I should also just mention that although the infrastructure budget here was not large, we've attempted to spread it around certain things, improving the office accommodation at area and local service centre, as well as constructing community development centres. And also included in this is upgrading of some of the park homes. Now, what we've discovered is that, and this has been an exercise that's been undertaken with the National Department, to do a survey of the working conditions of social workers. And indeed, in a lot of our offices, particularly local service centres, our offices are operating from park homes, which is old now and really not conducive. And in the discussions recently with Treasury at the 10x10, it's been agreed that we really need to prioritize infrastructure development in a way that we haven't necessarily before, to try and improve the working conditions of social workers and other officials. And there's good reasons for that. You'll find a social worker, five social workers in one small office, where that fourth got to go out when one is dealing with a client and those kind of situations that we're going to address. So if I can take you then just to page 8, it's just indicating the budget is 21. We spent 21 million out of the 26.3 million. Under the issue of monitoring, I'm afraid there, I slightly misunderstood the question in the letter that we received. I thought it was monitoring in the department in general. I didn't realize it was specific to capital expenditure. But in a general sense, we have improved the monitoring capacity in the department. We've staffed some of the folks in the strategic planning directorate. And also now we've improved our facilities management component. And then on page 10 of the presentation, when I saw in the letter they were asking about challenges, I listed 2 challenges there which are not strictly infrastructure challenges, but let me touch on them. When we started the year on page 10, when we started the 1st of April 2006, we had some 51% vacancies in the Department of Social Development in the Eastern Cape. Now, we've rigorously tried to fill those posts in the year under review, and we advertised 498 posts, of which we filled 464. The others are in process, let people decline and we gave the second candidate. let me be specific and answer the social work question at the same time and say, of those, we advertised 24 chief social workers, we recruited 24, 12 chief probation officers, we recruited 12, 100 social workers, and we got 95. Now some of those are new to the profession, and some of them are people who had been on contracts, whose contracts had expired, and they now have been recruited on permanent employment. I could continue, but that's the trend. Similar to the others, we have other departments. We've also looked at the issue of bursaries to try and recruit on an ongoing basis for social workers. We also advertise more posts in February for this financial year that we're in now. And perhaps one of the capacity issues I touched on here, which has now been resolved, but it was a difficult one at the beginning of the year, is of course with the establishment of SASA. A lot of the staff in Program 2, which was Social Security, were ring-fenced to move across on the 31st of March for the establishment of the Social Security Agency. And that initially put a lot of pressure on the department in terms of capacity, because for better or for worse, people that have been employed on contract at the time in finance and HR were being paid out of Program 2, so they moved across to SASA as well. And we had to really intensively try and deal with those capacity constraints, but I think to a certain extent we've been able to do so, or to a large extent we've been able to do so. Chairperson, I think that is the broad overview of the department. I hope that satisfies the honourable members. If there's any questions, I'll certainly try to answer them. Thank you.
Okay. What we will do again, Mr. Robertson here, I'm going to go and check the same one and phone you. He's going to phone you on site. And Mr. Robertson, I want to urge you to go on painting to inconsistent. You phone them, they will give you their phone number. They're going to give you phone number. No, I'm just saying that's part of the thing that must happen. So that we've got to address this problem of infrastructure. And then come in and bring your question.
Jay, I think we must not be harsh on Emil Nikolita and the gentleman there with him today, they're very new. But there is a problem in most of the provinces, and especially in my province. If you turn to page 8 of the presentation, second bullet, delays in some projects were mainly caused by delays in tendering and the over part of appointment of contractors. Now, Chair, we're doing something wrong there. Because we hear this story very often, and I'd like to know from the MEC and his department. This story in the past has come up so much that can they give us an indication that the past other provinces sitting here as well? How can this be addressed so that we can deliver service to the people at the end of the day? That's the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, also on page 8, I'm interested to hear from the department the 21 million that the spend of CAPEX, how much of that was allocated to black economic empowerment? And then also what is quite interesting to me is bullet 3, these projects, where projects were delayed, the funds were reprioritized to emerging renovations. Now, what happened to the projects that were initially targeted? How did they handle it in terms of the business plans that they had to submit for the... what did they do around this? And then, on the challenges, the 51%, they said that they advertised 498. What percentage is that of the 51%? If the 51% is say 2,000, then the 400 is not much. So one would like to find out what is the percentage is for 495 of the vacancy.
Chair, I just want to go back to Samson. Not the pay points, as was previously mentioned, but I just want to bring to the attention of the MEC that in Okashamba, in my position, there are shops that are pay points for pensioners. Now, I think there are two shops there, if I can remember correctly, Chair. And just before pension payout, these two shop owners get together, one called Zama Zama, and I've forgotten the name of the other one. And they put up their prices just before pension and payout, and they have got the payout machines in their shop, which only sell groceries. So when the people want to draw money to go and buy clothing, they won't give them the money. And then you've got, if you could check up on that, it would have worked, and I'd appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I believe that internship programs have been introduced for social workers, and the idea was to give people practical experience once they've qualified, those who are studying at universities and colleges and so on. And I'm just wondering how many of these people have been, you know, how many are involved in internship programs, and whether people are then deployed into other areas which are more remote, perhaps the rural areas. So is this working in getting people out into the distant areas where they need to be?
The other related problem are the loan sharks. Now, how are we to deal with this? Problem by problem. Now, I would want to have a reporting guideship so that if this is a problematic area, we might want to call a big public hearing with the loan sharks themselves and yourself. But then let me concur with Mr. Robertson and say, just allow the MEC, and because the AUD is also brand new, and also congratulations, he says you can come from heart cancer and what have you. Just then allow them just to go and do some proper research in terms of the exact figures, and therefore give us that information in writing in the next 2 weeks, so that it becomes very much useful for us. All the issues we've raised. So we don't want to ambush you today. We must be nice, especially as young people, because the elderly person, they are much more patient than me. And I've been influenced by them to be much more patient. If it were for me, I would want this information as early as now. But I'm saying, what we want to urge you is firstly to look at this issue of food prices that escalate on the eve of payday. But then the issue of loan sharks looks like some of the same agencies, by the way, are loan sharks themselves. Just look at that and give us a report about those things. And maybe that one, if you know about that, you can also give that in the next 2-3 weeks. If you're not aware, just do some searching in your own provinces. If you've got any matter of life and death to raise, this in case you can raise. But as I've said, the other matters you can respond to in writing.
Not sure, we don't have a matter of life and death except to share one experience. It is correct to say that at times some of these agencies employed, they do act as loan sharks themselves. We do have a case in our province, which then I can share.
Thank you. Honorable members, yeah, what I can share is that we had a case where CTS lent money to people that they were paying pensions to, and then began deductions, and then our MEC then took a matter itself to court. They discharged it, took them to court, and the judgment went against the CTS in this case, and they were ordered to pay back to the pensioners. They then, after a long delay, did not meet the deadline, and then appealed against the decision, and just recently they've lost that appeal as well, and the court has reconfirmed that they pay back the money that they deducted from these pensioners. So it was a small victory for the province in that regard.
That's a very big picture. Shouldn't be humble about that. Look, let all of us be informed by the Bill of Rights. And therefore, let's defend the vulnerable. We are in the forefront of defending and protecting the vulnerable. And therefore, let's really do that. The cost is going to be horrible. It's going to be unpopular, etc., etc. The bottom line is that you are doing the right thing. Now, having said that, there's an AOG that's lost. We've not heard of any airplane crash. And so, we are going to take this submission that is in front of us and submit it until that gentleman accounts for his whereabouts to his MEC. You will do the whistleblowing in your province. You are not going to present on his behalf. Where he got lost, nobody knows. Now, I want to attend this meeting. Some people are pleading with me. What is with your last final word?
And I was just wanting a question answered. One about the internships of the social workers, whether they are being trained and whether we're getting people into rural areas.
This is what I was saying about all people with due respect. The young one is asking that you get this in writing. In other words, they go out and do a whole research. That is going to inform what you raise. And then having said that, all of those of you who I have really offended, I'm very sorry today. Friday, I'm paid to the preacher. What is the word? Hard. I'm a hard young man. If I really offended you in the context of doing that, I'm so sorry. We really are paid to do all of these things. But we hope to be constructive as we do all what we're doing here. If we were not overcoming, if we're not very constructive, well, we're not apologizing for that one. Bottom line is that these members must be robust as they can, and the young one can always try and deny.
Yes, the
problem is, you know, young people don't grow hair because they're still very young, unfortunately. And so that's where the problem is. Now, this meeting stands adjourned until you are called over here. On the 23rd, we will be dealing with education, and public works will be part of that. Ford will also be here, and public works will be under the same roof. You must then prepare yourself. I was able with the way Mrs. Robinson has prepared herself for the Western Cape, and unfortunately missed. And so again, as I'm saying, only going to prepare yourself so well and don't miss targets. Education, sport, and public works will be safe. Travel well for all those of you who must travel there. Don't get into horrible taxis and buses and planes. Meeting adjourned.